Behind the bar, Rowley Dewhurst stood polishing glasses. He was as thin and cadaverous-looking as Bert Nolan was round and friendly. Lucille didn't know all the details, but she was aware that Dewhurst had been Nolan's partner in the establishment at one time. He had sold his share in the inn to Nolan for some reason. Lucille suspected he had done so in order to pay off gambling debts, but she wasn't sure about that, and now only worked in the place. Had she been in his shoes, Lucille wasn't sure she would have continued to work in a business she had once owned part of. But everyone had to walk his own path, and if Dewhurst was happy here, more power to him. Of course, he seldom looked happy, no matter where he was or what he was doing. He shoved a tray across the bar at her. The tray had a bottle and four glasses on it. "Take these to the gentleman," he said. Lucille nodded, thinking that it would have been just as easy for him to deliver it to the table himself. Dewhurst had strict ways of doing things, though. In his world, bartenders poured drinks or put bottles and glasses on trays, and serving girls carried them to the tables, and that was that. Lucille walked over to the table and leaned forward slightly to place the tray on it. "Here you are, sirs," she said.
"Much obliged, gal," one of the men said. He spun a coin on the tabletop. "You're a pretty one, ain't you?"
"Thank you," Lucille said. She didn't flirt or banter with the customers. She rested her left hand on the edge of the table for a moment so that the wedding band on her third finger was hard to miss. Even in a rough place like Texas, most men would never think of acting improperly toward a decent woman, and that wedding ring was a sign of decency. The man spun the coin again.
"Want to sit with us for a spell? We've been on the trail a long time. Could use some fancy company."
The man who had been sitting quietly now moved with the speed of a striking snake. His hand shot across the table and slapped the spinning coin flat. The sound of his hand striking the table was almost like a gunshot and made Lucille jump back a step in surprise.
"I truly don't feel like killing you today, Divas, so perhaps it would be best if you'd apologize to the young lady for your filthy insinuation."
The man had gone from a state of lazy, tolerant amusement to one of taut, deadly anger in the blink of an eye. His tone was still a quiet drawl, however, despite the cold fury burning in his eyes. His voice had a slight accent to it that Lucille recognized as British. She had met quite a few Englishmen on the Zephyr. They came to the United States on business, or for pleasure, or to escape some uncomfortable situation in their homeland. Lucille had heard some of them referred to as remittance men, usually the third or second sons from wealthy families. Under the British law of primogeniture, they could not inherit the family estate, so to avoid embarrassment, they left England, either joining the army or simply traveling abroad, supported by payments from back home. Remittances, in other words. The man called Devers, who was obviously an American, flushed with some anger of his own.
"Get your hand off me, Carnivan, or I'll cut it off."
The Englishman's other hand moved, coming out from under the table with a long, heavy, double-edged blade.
"Speaking of cutting things off, this isn't the most propitious time to be giving a fellow ideas along those lines, if you know what I mean."
Devers swallowed and hesitated, torn between his anger and the desire to back down from Carnivan's implied threat.
"Gentlemen, stop it," Lucille said sharply. "There's no need for this."
"There's every need," Carnivan said. "This lout is being offensive. He should apologize to you, madam."
"That's not necessary."
Carnivan dropped the tip of the blade into the table so that the weapon stayed there, quivering slightly when he released it. The blade had passed between his fingers and between two of the fingers on Deaver's hand underneath it. Deaver stared at the knife wide-eyed.
"I believe an apology is necessary," Carnivan said calmly.
Devers looked up.
"I'm sorry, madam. I surely am."
"That's all right,"
Lucille said, doing some staring of her own. Carnivan's violent action had taken her by surprise, but she hadn't had a chance to react because his movements were almost too fast for the eye to follow. Carnivan grasped the bowie knife and jerked it loose from the table.
"I'll pay for the damage, of course," he said.
Devers yanked his hand back, clearly relieved and more than a little surprised that it was still whole
and unpierced.
Forget it, he said. Well, I'll stand the cost. Hell, it was my fault.
You're a good man at heart, Patrick Devers, Carnivan said with a smile. You just get carried away from time to time by your Cane Tuck heritage.
You're right about that.
Carnivan came to his feet and slid the knife back into its sheath on his hip. He reached up and took off his broad-brimmed, flat-crowned brown hat, revealing a thatch of sandy hair. He was tall and broad across the shoulders, and most women would find him very handsome, Lucille thought, as she looked up at him. Not her, of course, since she was married.
Phineas Carnivan, madam, at your service, he said to her. My friends call me Finn.
I'm... Lucille. She had a little trouble getting the words out. Her heart was pounding slightly from the tension of the encounter. Lucille Brennan. Mrs. Lucille Brennan.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance, Mrs. Brennan.
His smile was quite charming. Or, Lucille amended silently, it would be to an unmarried woman.
Sit down, Finn, one of the other men said. We've got some serious drinking to do before we start back to the Gulf.
Lucille took that as an excuse to leave the table. If you gentlemen need anything else, just let me or Mr. Dewhurst know. She backed off a couple of steps, then turned and walked quickly to the bar. Dewhurst leaned over the hardwood and said in a low voice,
I thought for a second there was going to be trouble.
So did I, Lucille said. She looked over her shoulder and saw that Finn Carnivan had resumed his seat. He had a glass of whiskey in his hand, like the other men. The glasses clinked together companionably. Clearly the brief argument between Carnivan and Devers was already forgotten. Do you know those men? Dewhurst shook his head.
No, but from what I heard them saying, I think they're smugglers.
Smugglers, Lucille whispered.
Blockade runners, I should say. They got a boat, and they land supplies from England down around Galveston somewhere, and bring them up here overland. That fella, Carnivan, he's a foreigner of some sort.
Yes, he is, Lucille said. Carnivan was a foreigner of the attractive sort. But not to her, of course. Over the next couple of months, Finn Carnivan showed up several times in Marshall. His ship was making regular trips back and forth from Texas to British ports in the Caribbean, where it took on supplies for the beleaguered Confederacy and delivered them to hidden coves along the Texas coast. But rather than turning over the cargoes to other men once they reached Texas, Carnivan stayed with the supplies he brought in until they reached Marshall.